Hey, 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 how y'all doing? Y'all know who I am. I am Didi Leggett, aka the Core Queen, and we are back with another episode of the Core Queen Chat. We on episode 82, y'all. Y'all been with me for a minute. I love y'all. Episode 82 is about to be crazy, okay? Because we have the infamous, the famous, the incomparable doctor. I mean, not well, he shit. He might as well be a doctor. Hell, he out here fixing y'all shit. Coach Ken Canyon coming on the show tonight. We're gonna talk about this show he got on Tubi, y'all, called Decisions Are Never Black and White. If you didn't watch it, that's because you don't listen. I told y'all to go watch the show and make sure you know what you're talking about, because I need y'all in these comments. I need y'all on this phone to tell us what you think about episode one of this freaking crazy three episode series, y'all. My mouth was on the floor when I watched this. But for those of you who live under a rock and don't know who Coach Ken Canyon is, I would let you know a little bit about him. So Coach Ken Canyon is a certified relationship and personal development coach known for his work on modern relationships through various media, including being the resident counselor on MTV's Caught in the Act Unfaithful with your girl Tammy Roman, and his latest TV series, Decisions Are Never Black and White, on Tubi. He is an author and the creator of the Pocket Communication Coach app and has a strong online presence across all platforms like YouTube, Threads, Instagram, and TikTok. Coach Ken focuses on helping individuals and couples navigate the complexities of the relationships to achieve healthier connections. Y'all, we need Coach Ken so bad right now. Y'all, welcome Coach Ken to the show.
Was good. I love that, Didi. I love. Or should I call you Core Queen? I mean, I know you. I know you got your all to eat going, because I met you as Didi.
Yes.
I have grown to know you as Core Queen. So, how would you like to be addressed tonight?
You can call me Didi. That's fine. That's fine.
Didi, how you doing? I'm sorry.
I am great. How are you, Mr. Busy Man?
I am doing wonderful. You know, the reason I couldn't be in your studio is because I had people back to back to back to back. And I tried to work it out, but I said, okay, let me just be there. As long as we can be virtual, we can be there. Next go around, when we do our live event, we're going to do it together. But
absolutely,
I am so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I'm so happy to have you, because listen, right now in the world we live in, we need about 20 more of you, okay? We hurting out here, Coach Ken, in the relationship area, so. But before we get into the show, Decisions Are Never Black and White, y'all got a little bit of time to go and watch it, too. So play this while you watch that, and then come back and get over here. But I need y'all to be in this conversation, okay? So first of all, tell us where you're from and what inspired you to become a relationship coach.
I live in Greensboro, North Carolina. I'm from Atlanta originally, but I went to North Carolina A&T, and I kind of stayed in North Carolina, met my wife here, and it's like, it's home now. I love it. How did I become a relationship coach? Now, I did a video called How $7 Saved My Marriage. And the funny thing about this is, like, I always tell people, don't do what my wife did. See, my wife, special kind of person, and a different. What I mean is, I tell my clients, we had dated for years and we were friends first, you know, friends with benefits. And I always tell people, she went with me before I went with her. And it was like, and she always say we went together. And she always teaching my some, well, you was getting my coochie and spending my food stamps. We went together. So anyway, we got married, and my wife used a lot of the techniques that I teach to establish her brand as a wife. And we ended up getting married. But the funny thing is, I always tell people, when you solve one problem, you create 10 more. I need you to talk about, I want you to understand this. So we got married, but now we got the problems of a married person. Prior to, you had the problems of a single person. Well, I want to get married. I want to be married. I want the commitment. But then once you get that, then you got 10 more problems. Okay, how do I communicate? How do I resolve conflict? How do I understand love languages? And most of these things we've never been taught. And so my wife and I couldn't communicate. Matter of fact, so much so, we're 6 years into the marriage, and I thought I had made a mistake. I said, I married the wrong person. Yeah, and she said the same thing. She said the same thing. You know, we had contemplated getting divorced. And I'm going to tell you what happened. I'll never forget it. I did a video called How $7 Saved My Marriage. $7. Now, Didi, I want you to understand this. I had just gotten off a reality show. I was on the show The Biggest Loser, where I've lost 170 pounds. And so, yeah, you know, that's your thing. And, you know, workout videos. But I had just gotten back and we still weren't doing well. And I remember one day we were arguing in the house. We were arguing. I have never put my hands on my wife ever. Mm-hmm. The thing is, the words, though, that I said that day were more hurtful than anything that I could have said. And she said some hurtful stuff, too. Mm-hmm. And so I remember in the midst of us arguing, and she said, can we go for a ride? And you know how it is when you argue with somebody, you don't really want to be in the same car with them. So, but I don't know. I just like, all right, whatever. And so we riding along. And you know how when you mad with somebody, you know in your relationship when you mad, she looking out her window, I'm looking out my window, and we driving down the street. Now, the one thing we had in common, she was like, I'm hungry. We hadn't talked for 15 minutes. They're like, I'm hungry, right? And so she said, and this thing, I just came off a reality show where I lost 110 pounds on the show, lost 60 pounds since then. Mm-hmm. On this, she said, just pull into that Wendy's. Now, think about this, y'all. I didn't have any money. I had turned away $75,000 worth of business. I was busted. I wasn't working. I worked on my health. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I only have $7. She's like, pull into that Wendy's. And it just so happens, Wendy's had like a double cheeseburger meal deal for $2.99. And I wasn't even eating that. But at that time, when you pissed off, you'd be just doing stuff. So I'm like, all right, whatever. So I went through the drive-thru and I ordered two of them. Came to $6 and some change, right? Mm-hmm. Had just enough, $7. And as I was pulling through, my wife said, pull over into a parking lot, a parking space. And I was like, for what? And, you know, I'm just like, for what? And she said, we're going to sit here and figure out what's wrong with us. And I'm like, yeah, right. So anyway, I pulled over. And we stayed there 2 hours and 42 minutes. So much so, the people inside came out twice. Y'all good? Wow. We'd be like, yeah. But during that time, we talked like we've never talked before. I had been with her a long time, but that day we had conversations. And what we realized was neither one of us was good at communication. Mm. And we developed during that actual sitting, we developed a conflict resolution system, a simple system that saved our marriage. And I've used it to help save hundreds of other marriages. And it was so simple. Sometimes God will give you something just so simple, but so profound.
Yep.
So profound. And that's how, and then it became a mission to me. We didn't get it right overnight now. No. It took us for the next year to get it right, but I had a deeper calling. I figured if I could help us, I could help a lot of other relationships. Right. And voila, Coach King was born.
And that we needed you. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Karen, for making him pull up in that Wendy's.
I know, because you know, and now my wife is a coach too. And the funny thing about it is we laugh because I asked her the other day, I was like, when we were arguing that day, what made you say, can we go for a ride? Because I didn't really want to be in the car with you. And she said, it must have been God, because I looked at it. And many people, and the people listening to me, what happens is the place I'm in has all of this energy with it. Mm. You know? And she said, I thought to myself, if we just leave, we can leave out of this energy. We can exit the energy. But what we realized, that was part of it. But the other part of it was we didn't have any skills. We didn't have any strategies. We didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to think about this, though, Didi. How many times do people get together and they think it's going to work just because you love a person?
Oh my goodness. Yep.
No tools, no strategy. You've never been taught how to communicate. You've never been taught anything about attachment styles. You've never been taught about how to overcome trauma. You've never been taught conflict resolution. Never been taught how to communicate with somebody who's an avoidant and you're anxious. You've never been taught any of that, but we just expect it to work because I love you. That's and good. Love will never be enough. Ever.
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 No. No. Some people will never learn it.
Because they don't want to. You know why they don't want to, Didi? Because it requires you to look at you. I always do this thing when I'm a coach that does a lot of therapeutic stuff. Mm-hmm. I do this thing called the mirror work, where I get you to look into the mirror and tell me what you see. And the first thing people say, I see you know, my eyeballs and the color of my eyes and the skin. And I said, look deeper. What do you see? Mm-hmm. And it's funny. All of a sudden, the way the brain works, because I'm big on psychology, mm-hmm. neuroscience. I've written 10 books. And my thing is understanding how the mind actually works. And mm-hmm. so the mind works in pictures. It doesn't work in words. And so if I can get you to create a picture, what picture, what I'm really saying is what picture do you see when you see yourself? Because the picture will appear. And then all of a sudden they're like, wow, I see a person who's been running all their life from things that scare them. And when I get them to see the picture, they all of a sudden the things that were in their subconscious mind become conscious to them. And once it becomes conscious, now we can deal with it. Now we can understand what it is. But unless you have somebody like me that can help you uncover, mm-hmm. expose what's in the subconscious, you're going to walk around and just do unconscious shit.
Blaming it on somebody. That's just who I am. That's what I do. That's just how I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. So,
I could talk about this stuff all night. Now, I might ask you some questions before the night's over now.
Hey, ask me whatever you want.
Okay.
Last time somebody asked me questions, it's just I don't even know. I was like, whatever, Ali, whatever.
We're going to get some questions in. But now, you conduct an interview right now, and then I'm going to do what I do, and then eventually I'm going to turn it around and ask you. Because remember, we talked at the Ugly Money Niche podcast. That's where mm-hmm. we met. And you gave some profound answers mm-hmm. on some deep stuff. And that's why I was like, yeah, we need to do something, because I loved your thought, except on one issue. The issue that we disagreed on about my movie, Decisions Are Never Black and White. That first episode one, and we were going back and forth on that. Well, yeah. We agreed on pretty much everything.
And we're going to talk about that too. Okay. So after this, because I want to just figure out, because you've been kind of like the guiding voice, in my opinion, in the world of relationships for a long time. So what inspired you to create this show, Decisions Are Never Black and White?
That's a very good question. Thank you for asking that. I wanted, for those of you who don't know me, I am on a TV show, a hit TV show that I've been on. It's fourth season. That's called Unfaithful Caught in the Act. Tammy Roman is the host. I am the co-host, if you will, the relationship coach on the show. And having been on that show, I realize that there are a lot of people hurting. Mm. A lot of people got a lot of stories. And I've helped a lot of people through some traumatic stuff. And so I decided that I approached Ryan Givens, who was on my show with me. He's a director. Oh, an animal. He is unbelievable. He's going to be the next Ryan Coogler. He's just that dude. And he used to be my camera guy on the TV show. And I told him, I've got this idea to take some of the letters that I've received, some people I've helped, I want to turn them into TV movie series. Mm-hmm. And he's like, let me help you do that. Because it's easy, Didi. It's easy to say what you will do if mm-hmm. you're not in something. It's easy to say what you'll do when you're not in it, when your emotions aren't tied up in it, when you don't have history tied up in it, when you are intertwined financially, emotionally, family, socially, it's easy to say what you'll do. And so what I wanted to do was create stories, real stories. We had a little Hollywood to a lot of, too. We had some Hollywood, but real stories. But we had a, and to let people, that's why it's like on the show, I'm like, you decide, what would you do? Mm-hmm. What would you do in a situation like this? You know,
why are you mad? Because I was like, oh, hell no.
Oh, man. Don't tell them anybody. If you haven't watched it, you got to go watch Decisions. I'm Never Black and White on Tubi. It's on Prime too, but costs $4.99 on Prime. On Tubi, it's free. Free.com. Decisions Are Never Black and White. And it is, and what I wanted to do though was put three episodes out there to see if people would resonate with it. And God knows they have.
Oh my gosh. Listen, I'm telling, look, first of all, if y'all haven't watched the show, we're going to talk about it tonight. So y'all just going to get a spoiler alert, but you still got to watch it. Even if you talk about this, you have to see it for yourself to be like, hold on, let me, it ain't that bad. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I want you to set it up, let the people understand what episode one was about, and then we're gonna see why me and you disagree on the decision.
Okay. So there are three episodes, y'all. Each one of them is distinctly different. Mm-hmm. And but I started with the first one because it's a real scenario of what happened. Okay, and so without giving the whole plot away, to move, I'm going to say this. This couple met, all right? And, you know, the woman had always said, I want a man that communicates. Mm-hmm. I want a man that tells me stuff. I'm tired of being with men who are emotionally unavailable, is what she would say. And she says, I want somebody to communicate. And I said, and I would ask her, I said, are you sure? You want somebody to come in? Are you sure you want a person to tell you everything? Yeah, I do. And so this couple had built their relationship on communication. She loved it because he communicated. He was open. He was honest. And they were getting married. They were about to get married. And what he said to her was, look, I don't want to have any secrets with us. And I want to tell you, there was something that happened in my past 15 years ago. And it happened one time. And and I want to tell you, because you're going to be my wife, I don't want there to be any secrets between us. Well, it's not Coach Ken got involved in this shit. So he told her. And she said she would never weaponize something that he said to told her. Well, she did weaponize it. And she turned it against him. And he could not believe that this was the same woman that you told me you wanted to know everything. And I want you wanted to know, and I told you, and now you hold it against me. Something that happened 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. So my question to you, Dee, without telling the whole thing, should he have not told her? Should he have not told her?
If he was going to tell her, he should have told her before they got serious.
But why? No, I totally disagree. Mm-hmm. I disagree. And let me tell you why I disagree.
If it was something not that extreme, I would say that. But in my opinion, that's extreme. And I want to tell people what it is. I don't think it sounds crazy that I'm saying this because they don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think that extreme.
But it ain't that extreme. It's just that extreme to you. So here's the thing. Here's the thing, Diddy. I'm going to ask you a question. Hold on, Diddy. Anybody that you're dating, mm-hmm. Do you tell them everything that you've done in your past? Everything?
Nope. And I don't want them to tell me everything either.
So in other words, what you just said to me is, no, I don't feel like we should share everything that's happened. And so, but what her thing was we should share everything that has happened, that we are different people, things that have helped us become who we are, have grow from our mistakes.
But and I don't that, think
she, you don't think
I don't think she imagined in a million years that that would be what he would tell her.
It don't matter. Okay,
it does.
No, well, here's the thing. Let's just say this. Like we said in my candid conversation, it's a double standard. Because it's a double standard, and I'm glad you admit that, because it's a double standard with men and with women in a lot of different areas. Mm-hmm. It's a double standard because if a woman has sex with a lot of guys, she a hoe. If a man has sex with a lot of guys, he the man.
Yep.
So I get the double standard. I get that. Mm-hmm. But don't say that this space is a safe space to share what I want to share. And when I share, I get killed in the space that I thought was safe.
But see, I think, okay, so if I go back to the actual episode, mm-hmm. and maybe this is probably why I was so adamant, is because I felt like he wasn't going to tell her unless he was forced to. But you're saying in the letter, she said she wanted this information.
Yeah, it wasn't forced. And even in the movie, he wasn't forced to tell her. He didn't have to say. Because remember when the ring fell out and he said, look, I got to tell you something. I need to tell you something. Because that was the symbolism of they were getting married. And he was like, I want to tell you this. It just so happens that's the Hollywood of it. You know, we the Hollywood it up.
Because it looked like somebody else was going to tell him.
And in real life, he said it. He said, look, I want to tell you this because I don't want there to be any secrets, because we built our relationship on communication.
I think that's one secret he should have took to the grave.
You know what? I agree.
What you think? You could have left that out of it. Like, I don't, because at that point, I feel like, yes, I'm a safe space, but that is something that I don't even expect that you're going to tell me.
You ain't no safe space then.
Yes, I am, because that to me is so extreme. That is not something that's a normal confession.
But that happened 15 years ago, and it wasn't. What it is you put that kind of way. So let me ask you this. Let's say it was a woman who, and I had this too. Mm-hmm. Okay, OnlyFans would out when I got it. But she was used to sell that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't even want to say this because it's going to be an episode soon.
Okay. All right,
so because based on the response to this one. So you used to say that thing, well, the guy was in the mall one time and he noticed this cat they were together, kept looking at her. But it was in her past. It might have been 8 or 9 years, whatever, in her past. And she never wanted to bring that up again. She did it because she had to support herself, whatever, whatever. Well, it came out. The dude kept looking and your boy confronted him. What the? And he was like, I thought I knew you somewhere. And then he asked her, wait a minute, what's the deal with this dude? And then that led to a series of conversations where she told him she was selling. She had been with maybe even hundreds of men.
Mm.
Okay. Now.
Out of there.
Okay. Okay. Same situation. He should have been out of there.
Out of there. And I'm saying this because it just happened to me with a guy who told me that he was with a number of women that I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't even count that high. And I'm like, oh, no, you got to go.
What was the number?
2,000.
He been with 2,000 women.
That's what he said.
Jesus Christ.
And he offered this information. I didn't ask.
Hey, ask your tech guy. What's your tech guy back there?
Fred.
Hey, Fred, what do you think about that? I mean, good.
I think he lied.
He's a celebrity, a huge celebrity. And I think he just runs through them. I don't think he's lying.
I think 2,000, that's cap.
It's possible if we're not talking about one person at a time. We're talking about orgies. We're talking about, like, listen, I got a friend that she a swinger. Like, they life is crazy. So I don't put it past them, but you won't be over here. Oh no.
Say that. He ain't about to get this.
That's a wrap. You gotta go. I don't care who you are. Goodbye.
She took that serious.
Oh, like, I was so disgusted.
No, and I understand that. I totally get that. But I just wanted, and here's the moral of the story. As a coach who has coached thousands of people, I don't have the luxury to judge you. Mm-hmm. Because my job, and let me just say this, there are four words I never use. I never use something is right or wrong, or something is good or bad. Mm-hmm. The reason I don't use those terms is because they attach judgment to the behavior. What I do, I only use two words. Is it working or not working?
Mm.
Because what's good for Didi might be bad for Coach Ken.
Right.
What's right for Didi might be wrong for Coach Ken. And so the way I approach it is, does it work for you? I mean, because think about it, some people are in polyamorous relationships. That works for them.
Yep.
And it doesn't work for somebody else. And so when you approach it as a coach from the standpoint, does that work for you or mm-hmm. doesn't that work for you? Then all of a sudden, now I can coach them in an authentic way to help them get to the place where this works for me.
Right. I agree. I went live last night to talk about some feedback that I got about, I asked men a question. I asked them what was the mindset shift that they had when they stopped cheating, if they stopped.
You can ask me that, because I was a cheater before I got married. I've never cheated on my wife one day. And see, since we've been married, not once.
I'm glad you said that, because
not once.
There but is
more. Years ago, I was a cheater. See, when I tell people, I know, that's why I'm on the show where people cheat. I've been married 24 years. I have not touched another woman in 29 years.
Come on, Miss Karen, and put that thing on them.
And I will say, it is a choice. It is a choice, because I want it to be.
Yep.
I wanted to be a man of integrity. Mm. And I want, because, and then I knew it was a bigger calling for me. And mm-hmm. I said, I cannot expect my marriage to flourish if I'm going to be a man of no integrity. I'm just, and make no mistake about it now, women cheat just as much.
Listen,
there was a study
yesterday. I said, I don't want to hear nothing about men cheat. I said, people cheat. Cheaters cheat. It ain't got nothing to do with a gender.
Yeah.
People cheat. So, yeah. But I was very pleased that I got so much feedback from men. So I actually read all their comments, all their responses on live, because I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, it was literally overwhelming how most men came to this conclusion, like what shift their mind. It had nothing to do with anybody else. Most of the time.
What were they saying?
The majority of them were saying it was something within them that they were like, they realized they were being unfulfilled and that they were more valuable than that. And they were just giving themselves away for no reason and not really getting anything out of it.
I agree. Like,
whoa.
It always, when a man stops cheating, it is always an internal decision.
Yeah.
So what people do is people think that a woman can make a man stop cheating. Like, if she check his phone, if she does all of the things, if she, you know, got cameras, record, that ain't gonna make him stop.
Uh-uh.
Because what you're doing is you're trying to solve an internal problem with an external solution.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the way it happens. And for me, I wanted to become a better version of myself.
Mm.
wanted to be better. I wanted to be a better man. I wanted to be a better father. I wanted to be a better person. I wanted to evolve into the man that can say live in front of thousands, that millions on Unfaithful, that I've never cheated. Mm-hmm. When I said, since I've been married, never. Ain't no woman gonna say, oh, his dick been in me. No one. But one.
Come on, that's what I'm talking. And I think that's something that a lot of like the younger generation needs to hear. Because a lot of times we hear like young guys talk about the barbershop talk or the locker room talk, and it's just the norm. I'm just supposed to do these things. And it's like, no, that's actually not that normal. It's kind of dysfunctional, actually.
Yeah, we were taught that because they're going to double standard. If a little girl, you think about it, when a little girl is small and a little boy is small, that little boy is 6, 7 years old. They ask him, you got the girlfriends? He said, I got two of them. They're like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Girls, I got two boyfriends. They're like, hey, no. You're gonna be out. No. So we've been conditioned mentally to believe that multiple women in our culture is a good thing for young men. We just believe. And for women, it's not. Now, I'm saying this is what we've been conditioned in our culture. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things that we do in our culture is dysfunctional.
Yeah. And in the words of Coach Ken, is it working?
Is it working? I mean, we do a lot of dysfunctional stuff. Can I give you one that some people in your audience ain't gonna like, but it's dysfunctional as hell?
Uh-oh.
We say things like, you should date to marry.
Mm.
That is the dumbest statement I've ever heard. One of them. And you're probably looking like, what?
Because I'm that's because you don't know my stance on marriage. But go ahead.
I do know your stance because I heard it the other day. I heard your stance say ugly money. You told me your stance on that. I get your stance, but I'm not saying that because of your stance. I understand your stance. You made it clear. But let me explain why I said it. Because dating, the process of dating is not about, it's not to get married. The process of dating is collecting data to see who is in alignment with me, who that I can be in a relationship with. See, that's why I say, I always tell people, you should date multiple people, because what you're doing is collecting data. I didn't say have sex with multiple people. What it is we think, a lot of us think that dating, we don't look at dating like that. We look at dating as a prelude to marriage, and it is not.
Yep.
Dating is a prelude to collecting data to determine if you are in alignment with me to determine if I can marry you. And when I tell people that's why my people get in great relationships, because they approach it differently.
Yeah,
it approaches differently. Some people, and in the church, they you say you date to marry. You know why that don't work? Because that's why we have over 53% divorce rate, even in the church.
Yep.
Because what happens is you look at everybody as a marriage partner, ooh, and you collect data and you rely on the limbic part of your brain up here. That's the emotional part of your brain. You rely on that. And you never use your prefrontal cortex to determine if this person's value system is congruent with yours. That's the reason why. And you rely on your emotions. And what happens is your emotions will deceive you.
Yes. Every time. Every time. Yeah. I often say that a lot of people in the Black community is, we like the way that we date, we kind of just fuck our way into relationships.
We kind of what?
Fuck our way into relationships.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. All day. And every day.
We realize, I don't even like you.
And think about it. Because the sex is good. And what it does is good sex. Physical connection creates an illusion. And the reason it creates an illusion, because it hijacks your brain. And as I said before, the amygdala is in the limbic part of the brain. When you start with that, that's where the whole idea of catching feelings comes from. Your amygdala and the limbic area of your brain takes over, and your decision making bypasses the prefrontal cortex, the logical part of your brain that says, "Hey, he doesn't call me after 9 o'clock. There's something wrong with that." But because you're like, "Oh, he working. He go to sleep early every night, even on weekends." And so, the limbic part of your brain is taking over, that part wants to accept that because it makes you feel good.
Absolutely.
It's an illusion. That's right. So I get people to use both sides of their brain.
Ooh, Lord.
I do. That's why I'm so good at what I do. I get you to use both sides of your brain.
I needed you let me be quiet. No, Fred, don't you say a word.
Where did she need me, Fred?
Fred calls me insubordinate. Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
All right. So for people that may watch this show, what do you want them to take away from it?
To watch decisions?
Decisions, yes.
I want them to take this away. That I want you to look at every situation based on your truths. Not someone else's, not your friends, not your mama, not your daddy. Based on your truth and your core values, what aligns with you. And sometimes, y'all, sometimes things don't align with your core value system, and we are unwilling to let it go because we think it ain't as bad as someone else, or it's not as bad as another situation or a prior situation. And so what we do is we rationalize what we go through. And when you rationalize, it become rational lies.
Come on, Coach Ken.
That's what it becomes, rational lies.
Dang.
That's what happens to people.
We need you in the high schools. Do you go to high schools and talk to the kids?
No, high schools. They doing is just fucking. They ain't thinking about nothing else.
But that's why, because they don't even know how to rationalize stuff, Coach Ken. I needed you in high school. Boy, it would have saved me a lot of problems.
I need you in college, because in college is when in high school, you're sneaking out. You got to sneak. You got to do, you still got some guardrails. Your guardian parent, whatever. Some kids don't have guardrails, but for the most part, when you go to college or when you get out on your own, now you have no guardrails. You're emotionally immature. You haven't been developed emotionally, and so now your body is grown, and that body is yearning for those things. It's grown. Next thing you know. Oh boy, every time he wake up, he hard and then he's spitting game to her and she getting moist in the panties. And then you start doing dumb things. You start doing dumb things that may hurt your future emotionally and physically. So that's why I try to work with college students. My granddaughter's in college now, and I give it to her raw. And I'm like, oh, he just wants some pussy. I'm just telling you now, she's a good looking young lady. Mm-hmm. And she's beautiful and she got a nice body and all of that. And I'm going to give it to her straight. I do not want her. I cannot live with myself. God didn't give me, these kids, these grandkids, so I can let somebody else out there tell her something. Mm-hmm. She need to know I love her. Her mama love her. Her daddy love her. My wife love her. And that ain't no fool gonna just tell you something, and she will come to me and ask me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, look, here's what it is. Because I am not trying to lecture her, I'm simply trying to empower her.
Right.
The word empower means to give power. To give power to someone else to make their own decisions.
Yeah. And she, I mean, just the mere fact that she has male role models in her life is already, she already light years ahead. Yeah. That's something every little girl definitely needs.
And I want to be a role model for my daughters and for my grandkids. And I always tell them, I want them to be able to say, I want my husband to be like Pop Daddy. Because they know I'm a masculine man. I'm gonna tell it like it is, but I'm compassionate too. I'm vulnerable too. I lean into my feminine energy as much as my masculine energy, because you have to balance it. Everybody who's into this hyper masculinity, dang, come on, man. If you're a real man, you ain't got to tell everybody. They ain't got to tell everybody. What? Your energy tells them.
It's going to show up before you even get in there. It's going to precede you. Absolutely. I agree. Yeah. I think Kevin Samuels then really did a number on a lot of these men. I agree with some of the stuff he said, but I think they just took it too far.
Some of the stuff he said was that he was dead on. Now, what only thing I didn't like about Kevin Samuels was the energy that by which he presented it. Now, so because I felt like some of it was dogmatic, but you know, and I also feel like there are women out there who are on the opposite side of the manosphere, and these women, like your girl, what's your girl, Shira Seven, who we talking about? She got a little saying and telling women, if you don't get his money, you know what? You need to get his money. You need to get, you know. I'm like, that creates toxicity. And a lot of those women are not going to meet the person of their dreams because they're getting faulty advice.
And they don't even have, like, they don't have access to these types of people. They've never had these types of people. And it's like, is that working for you? Look, see, now I'm going to use that.
You got to use that. Didi, you got to use that. Is that working for you?
Yeah, it doesn't even make sense. All of these checklists and they're exhausting. They're exhausting.
They are. I always tell people, the first thing when you coach with me, ditch the list. What we'll do is we'll create something new, a new document. And this new document is not going to have boxes where you check, he makes six figure, he's 6 feet, he got a big house, none of that stupid stuff. The first thing your document is going to have your own core values on it. Most people, if I were to ask you your core values, not you, but a lot of people, they don't even know what core values truly are. And so they don't know what their core values are. What they try to name is how they feel about something. But that's not a core value.
No.
And so that's where we start. And once you identify what your core values are, now I can determine if another person is in alignment with me, not just based on emotions.
We got a lot of work to do. You hear me?
We all got a lot of work to do. All of us got work to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what, since you coach individuals, do you coach individuals and couples?
I coach men, women, and couples.
Okay. So what are, like, what's one of the most common communication breakdowns that you see?
Conflict resolution. One person was taught to resolve it one way. Like, we just talk, we yell, we get loud, and we solve it. And one person shuts down. Because in their home, they weren't allowed to use their voice. And so that was my marriage. My family, you know, we just yell and we talk it out and we done with it. We get to it. It wasn't the way to do it. And my wife and her family, when I would get louder, she would get more quiet. And I realized her voice was stifled because my voice was overbearing. My voice was drowning out hers. And so I've learned how to communicate differently. And a lot of one of the biggest mistakes people say is, well, this just me. You ever heard people say, this just me? I'm going to take me or leave it. Well, You know what's wrong with that statement? What's wrong with that statement is when you say, this is just me, you don't leave room for evolution. You don't, because the, you know, scientists say we as human beings evolve every 7 years. And if you're not willing, if you're not trying to evolve, if you're not attempting to evolve, then what you're doing is you're staying stagnant. And you're leaving your evolution to chance. And so what I tell people is, I'm like, look, when you say I'm just me, what you're really saying is I don't want to evolve. I can't do anything. I'm not going to do anything more to be better. I don't want to be better, because a lot of people do not want to acknowledge that we all need to be better. Yeah. We all need to evolve. And so I'm going to break something down that my wife and I have been married 25 years. We've been together over 30 now. Cool, but my wife and I, they say every 7 years people evolve. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, I've evolved too, but every evolution with her, I've fallen in love with it over again.
Oh, come on.
See, here's the thing. What people do is, you ever notice people married 30, 40 years and now they're getting divorced?
Yeah. Yep.
What happens is the evolution, everybody's evolution, you must fall in love with the evolution of that person over and over and over again. That is when you get to the point where your love grows into what we call mature love. That is that state where we evolve with each other. Mm-hmm. And so I've fallen in love with her 6-7 times, really at least 4-5 times with the different evolutions.
Mm-hmm.
So we change. We all change.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I had this conversation because we were talking about like when people get married really young and then like because they've matured and changed so much, like you said, they get that divorce like early, like they maybe in their 30s and they're divorced already. And mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, because they kind of didn't realize how much of a change was going to happen from being a teenager or early 20-year to a mid-30-year. So it's like, that's a big difference. When you think about yourself, like I'm a whole different person in my 20s and 30s and 30s and 40s, like, and so on. So
how you different? How you different?
How do I do it?
Yeah, how are you different? Because you say I'm different in the 20s, 30s. You know?
Oh, God.
I want to see how you evolved.
In my 20s and probably up to my mid 30s, I was just not a nice person. I was mean. I was bitter. I was broken. I was hurt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't even know how to, like, my emotions were all over the place. I didn't realize that I had severe anxiety. Okay. So everything was amplified in my life and I didn't know how to deal with it.
Mm.
Yeah, so I was, I have done a lot of work.
Oh, yeah, and the thing, see, notice what you just said. I've done a lot of work. I've evolved.
Yeah.
And because I wanted to be a better version of myself, that caused me to say, I have to do the inner work.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I agree. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Wow.
Yeah, and I think like recently I'm learning, you know, going through therapy, and plus because I wrote this book, Breaking the Cycle of Childhood Trauma, I just didn't realize how much my childhood trauma was affecting all of my adult decisions.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a whole nother episode.
And my wife too. And my wife wrote a book called I Am Simply Met, Be Simply You. And we dealt with during a time in her life where she went through a dark time where she was depressed. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of it, took me a whole year. I went out of coach mode. I mean, out of husband mode into coach mode. And for a whole year, I peeled back layers. It was hard. Mm-hmm. I peeled back layers in her life. And I related a lot of it back to her childhood of things. And that book was the culmination of that, much like yours, much like what you've done. But you know, a lot of us, we don't want to do that work because that work is ugly. It ain't glamorous like, you know, social media you put up, you know, I'm in Dubai.
Right. Exactly.
And because that work is ugly. That work is messy. That work hurts. But on the other side of it, though, you have Breaking the Cycle, that book. Like, that's what you...
Yeah.
I love it. I need to get a copy of that book. Show me, send me the clip, to order, a link to order it. So
absolutely.
I will.
Definitely. Okay. And I think a lot of people, like, when they see, of course, like you talk, like the highlights and stuff on social media, they just assume that everything's great. You got this great life and all of these things. And it's like, no, this, like, I'm a human too. Like, I go through stuff too. Like, I like to speak about this every episode because I want people to understand that writing this book was definitely therapeutic for me, but it also fractured my relationship with my mom probably forever. Like, she just doesn't talk to me anymore because of the book. So,
what?
Yeah, she doesn't talk to me anymore. So,
did she read the book?
Mm-hmm.
And when she read it,
I don't know. She won't talk to me. I have no idea. I only know that she's not talking to me because she hasn't responded back to any of my calls or texts. And my little sister told my big sister that she wasn't happy with the book.
So, how long ago has that been?
June
of this year.
Mm-hmm. I dropped the book in June. Yeah.
How do you feel about that? About her not speaking to you?
Initially, I was very hurt because I felt like she was like re-traumatizing me. Like, as a kid, that same feeling coming back up, abandoning, like, right. What did I do wrong? But then the main person that kind of helped me through it was my daughter. And she was like, Mom, she was like, no, my daughter was really upset. And she was like, the only thing, she had one job to do, and that was protect you then and now. And she failed again. So she like telling me how proud of me she was to write the book. And so I was like, okay. And then, of course, a few sessions of therapy helped me kind of unpack it because I still was feeling a way. I was like, dang, I ain't even do nothing. Like, what'd I do?
So, you do know when we put the mirror, the book simply put a mirror in your mother's face, and what she's responding to is what she had to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it takes time and sometimes we don't acknowledge it, but you did right for your own healing. You had to.
Yeah.
You had to. And eventually she will talk again.
Yeah, I'm here. Like, I don't have no, like, whenever she's ready, I don't have no hard feelings.
What was the relationship like with her prior to the book?
It actually just started getting good. We spoke often because we don't have me and my big sister and my mom don't really have a great relationship.
So the three of y'all,
five of us.
No, I'm talking about you, big sister, mom,
right.
Don't have a good relationship. Each one of y'all don't have a good relationship with so you don't have a good relationship with those two?
No, me and my big sister are very close. That's like my best friend.
Okay.
Me and her don't have a good relationship with our mom.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So okay. It had just started like getting good. Like, we would text, talk. I would send her pictures of my grandkids and like try to keep her involved. But I mean, she doesn't even really talk to my big sister either. So she doesn't talk to any of our kids.
So, yeah. I'm going through some stuff on her own.
Oh yeah. And it's been like that our whole life though. So it's not like it's something that new. It was just like, dang, we just started like building a better relationship.
Right.
Like, okay.
You know what changed my life? I always tell people, I am not only a coach, but I'm a student. And because I'm always wanting to be better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've done a lot of work on myself. But there is a book that I read recently, and I've read thousands of books. I've probably read 2,500 books in my life, mm-hmm. and I've read 10 books. But this book called the let them theory.
My therapist just told me to get that.
Oh, the book revolutionized my life. Listen, I tell you, go get that book.
Yeah.
My granddaughter recommended it to my wife, who mm-hmm. read it and was like, look, Ken, you gotta read this. My wife called me Kenny. Kenny, you gotta read this. So and I read it four times. So not really read it, audible. I listened mm-hmm. to it four times. I take notes. And the book has revolutionized the way that I look at people, life. I'm not gonna give you any clip notes. Me and you gonna talk about it. Read it. It's called The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. Amazing. Okay. It's simple. Mm-hmm. Some of the most profound things are the simplest.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
So, didn't know. And it's funny because remember I told you when Ali was on, he was asking me questions. It was about this, and we kind of had a back and forth because he was, of course, coming from his perspective and just giving me advice on, you know, the mother child relationship and how I should not.
Let me tell you why. Your job is not your mother's happiness. God is giving you your life. Your job is to be fulfilled in your own life. Mm-hmm. So that's part of what the let them theory says. The let them theory says, let them be them. Let them do what they are going to do. Yep. And then let you. Let me do what works for me. But your job, he says, you've been given one life. You know, one life. And I was reading scripture, Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 says, with their hand, whatever I put my hand to do, whatever you put your hand to do, do it with all your might. And there's another part of that scripture that I didn't realize. They said, because where you going, the grave, work, you ain't going to need any of that. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And so your job is to take this one life that you have and make it the best it can be. And that one life needs to be centered around being happy for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree. And that's why I kind of pushed back just because I know he was coming from the, well, what if she dies? What if you die? I said it as well with my soul.
Yeah. If she were to die, but that's her life. It's her life. I mean, and it's okay. And then you can, I mean, and I'm not telling you, but here's what happens to people. What happens to people is their whole life is centered around someone else's feelings.
Lord have mercy.
And so those feelings dictate your actions.
Yep.
And so that means your actions are not authentic.
Mm.
Your actions are a result of someone else's feelings.
Yeah.
And so we got to realize that the truth is we are not responsible for someone else's feelings.
Nope.
People are going to feel what they feel. We are responsible for our life and communicating effectively.
Absolutely. That's it. That's all. And I am done with that. He's like, you need to just pull up on her. Who?
Oh, God.
I don't even know where that lady live. I'm not going to her house.
Mm-hmm. No. That just feeds your trauma. That's no.
And I told him, I said, so you want me to, first you told me to reach out, and then you told me to pop up. So if both of these things I do and she doesn't respond, then I'm just going to be re-breaking my own heart. That doesn't even make sense.
That feeds into the trauma. Let her. Your therapist was right.
Like, no. She said, as your therapist, no. I'm happy with the decision to write the book. It took me a long time to put these words in this book. I held on to that trauma for a long time since I was 12 years old, and now it's out and I feel so much better. So
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Okay. I know this is amazing.
I got two more questions for you.
Two more questions. Let's get it.
And these two questions I ask everybody to come on my show.
Okay.
Okay. First question is, what is the best advice you've ever received?
The best advice that I've ever received is from my father. And it was twofold. Now I understand where he got it. He said, number one, he said, you're destined for greatness if you're willing to put in the work. You can have anything you want. And listen to what he said, though. Listen to what he said. This is the best piece of advice ever. He said, son, if you're willing to put in the work, you can have everything you want in this world. He said, you can have anything you want in this world, but you cannot have everything you want in this world. Now, I thought that was, is that contradictory? It wasn't. Mm-hmm. So think about it now. Think about what he said. Mm-hmm. He said, you can have anything you want. You just can't have everything you want. And what he was saying was, he said, you can have a great marriage, but you can't have a great marriage out here fucking all these other women.
Come on here, Dad. Come on, Pops.
He said, you can be rich, but you can't be rich laying in your bed, going to sleep and late. He said, you can have anything you want. You just can't have everything you want. Something you gotta be willing to give up.
Ooh, sacrifice.
And so that's the best piece of advice that I've ever got, I believe, amongst other things. But that, I would say that is the best.
That's good. That is good. Last question. What advice would you give 15-year-old Ken?
So you're trying to be all deep in everything. You know? You know what? Here's the advice. That made me think about my mama. Because my mama taught me how to love people. My daddy taught me how to love myself.
My goodness.
And what advice would I give 15-year-old Ken? I think the advice that I would give 15-year-old Ken, because he wasn't Coach Ken then, I would give him this advice. That things are never as good as you will think they are, and they're never as bad as you think they are.
That's good.
That's the advice I would give 15-year-old Ken.
Yeah, I like that.
Things are never as good as you think they are. Things are never as bad as you think they are.
Facts. That's good. Okay, Coach Ken. Listen, everybody already know you the shit. So, you know, I appreciate you for coming on my show, dropping all these jewels, giving us all this knowledge. I mean, we need you so bad now more than ever, because I don't know what's going on in this dating pool. I don't know. I stay on my couch. I ain't got time.
Here we go. Are you dating right now?
I am.
Good. Yes. Yes. I love it.
What was that?
What brand?
He was clearing his throat talking about his allergies. Brand being messy.
Hey, Brand. Brand cleared his throat. Hey, look. He must be a good guy, you know, because I imagine that you are a conversationalist. Mm-hmm. So I imagine you guys have conversations.
Now we do.
Yeah, I'm talking about now.
Now we do. It took us a while to get to the conversations because he's a huge introvert.
Oh, wow.
It took a lot for us for him to understand that I need an over-communicator because I'm an overthinker. So now he is definitely an amazing communicator now. Yeah, he's doing much better. Yeah, absolutely.
That's big amazing. Props to him. Big props.
And we need to let the people know. So me and Coach Ken, we're going to be doing a live event here in Charlotte on January 24th from 7 p.m. 7 to 9:30?
7 to 9:30. And we're going to do it live, a candid conversations event. it's gonna be dope. It's like when we do it, it always sells out. But why do you think it's why people like to come to those? Why? Because you came to my one of them.
I did.
Why do you think? Your perspective?
I think because it's always, you know, relationships is just always a topic. Correct. Like people are always looking for advice. They're looking for their tribe to see if maybe, am I right in this? Is she right? Is he right? Like people just want that conversation. And I also think that people are kind of a little bit exhausted from the social media conversations where it's like just this one directional type of conversation.
Yeah.
So being in a room with people again and actually interacting and really having conversations and real debates is just healthy. And it just feels right.
It was good. That night was good. When I tell you, the time went so fast, and I was like, it was some, and the way we set it up, like it's everybody's take matters.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably what it is then. Because it's there's no, like you said, there's no right or wrong.
No right or wrong. No right or wrong. So we're gonna do it in 24. We're gonna promote it. It's gonna be crazy once we get, you know, get anything good. We gonna. Yeah. Let's do absolutely. It.
So the venue is to be determined. We'll start promoting and getting it out there. But y'all make sure y'all mark your calendar. Just mark the calendar off. Y'all going to be here in Charlotte January 24th from 7 to 9:30 p.m. And get ready for a great conversation and bring your opinions with you. Don't be getting offended because there's no right or wrong. Okay?
You see
wait, you got to put Jim's comment up because this is the friend that sent the message about the series. So I just want to say the Tubi series was good, but why did you hit us with only 3 episodes? 3 felt like a sample platter. The series had me stuck to the TV screen till 2 a.m. last night, like I was being held hostage by my own curiosity. Had me sitting there waiting for the non-existent episode 4 like it owed me money. I need season 2 because 3 was just disrespectful to my binge watching.
I love her already. I swear I love her already. Hey, Jen, I just wanted to put it out to see if a sample of would people receive it. That's all. Because, you know, think about it now. You putting up a lot of money to do this. I put up something and people don't like it.
Right. Then
we ain't going to keep investing it, but people like it. And so we coming back at you, Jen, and I swear. I love it the way she said that. She said, have me sitting there for a non-existent episode. No, what you said was had me stuck to the screen. She said, like I was being held hostage by my own curiosity. I love that.
Yes. That's my girl, Jen. We'll be in Ghana next month. Me and her and some of the Air Force ladies. We're going out the country. She said, well, you see now received. I'll even be in season 2 if you need an actress.
Okay, Jen. Don't say that when we call you and be like, Didi an actress too. So we get both y'all on set together. Don't be surprised. We're going to call you about it. Don't be surprised. So it's good.
I need to be the woman selling the coochie. No, I'm joking. I'm joking! Because you and Fred both look the same, right?
You know what? On that note, I'm going to let that ride. Because I could take that so many ways. You know?
Listen, look, Coach Ken, let people know how they can find you, follow you, anything you got coming up. Let the folks know.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Charlotte. I don't know. I think the shows are sold out, except for the 4 o'clock show. Sunday, tonight's conversation is going to be in Charlotte. And I'm going to be on the panel for Sunday's show. If you're there, come on through. If you want to catch me on all social medias at Coach Ken Canyon, and if you want to go to my website, coachkencanyon.com, and watch the series and send it out, y'all, because I want to get other people's. I want to get their take on it.
Yes, please watch the series on Tubi, y'all. It's going to rock you. It's going to shock you. You're going to be calling people like, yo, what would you do if this? I'm telling you, it's going to bring up conversations. Look, Thanksgiving coming up. So y'all gonna be at the table talking about it to see. Don't get to tossing no plates or nothing like that, because you know folks get in their feelings when it comes to relationship stuff.
Well, I don't need them to get in their feelings, so we good.
Listen, I'm gonna have the conversation during my Thanksgiving, so I want y'all to know we're gonna watch it and look, we're gonna talk about it. So make sure on Tubi, y'all, decisions are never black and white. Make sure you watch it, and hopefully I'll be in season two. Okay. Y'all know who I am. I'm Dee Dee Legette, aka the Core Queen. And y'all know this is the Core Queen chat. I need y'all to do me a favor. I need y'all to go on YouTube, like the freaking episode. I need you to comment, share it with people, and I need you to subscribe to the YouTube channel. I also need y'all to get my book. I wrote a book. Please get my book. It's called Breaking the Cycle of Childhood Trauma. And I talk about a lot of things that help moms and daughters with their relationship, because a lot of times we talk about absent dads, but how about mama trauma? Some of us have that. Present parent caused some trauma that we don't normally talk about. So you can get my book on thecorequeen.com/book or on Amazon. I prefer you to get it on my website, because Amazon don't be paying nothing.
And, all right, so I just pulled that QR code out. I'm gonna order mine right now. Order my book right now. Order your copy.
I definitely want you to give me your feedback.
Add to the cart. Let me check out real quick. Y'all need to order y'all copy. I'm ordering mine right now.
And if you order it from my website, I'll sign it and I'll send you a cute little box with some trinkets in it too. So give you some stuff in there, some little gifts. What do I have coming up, Fred?
Review. I'm ordering it. It is just one more step. Paying Core Queen Fitness LLC.
That's me.
All right, review. Okay, I got the shipping. Boom, place the order. Pop, 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 pop.
It said pop, pop, pop.
Okay, thank you. And look, thank you.
Yay. Your book will be in the mail tomorrow.
All right.
I appreciate you so much, Coach Ken.
Likewise.
Coach Ken, you got to tell the people about, because I bought the games, and we playing these on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
About the card games.
Oh, yeah. So this is one of them. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Let me see if I can get my other one. I got, hey, Nick. Let me see.
Relationship card game. This is a comment up there, Fred.
So this is one of them. I don't have it right here. It's in there because I shipped out orders today. We got both of them. We got this version is the regular version. It's called Moment of Truth. And we got a black version that is a sex version for all you freaks out there.
That's so, my type of carrying on. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go to coachkid.com or you can order it on any of my social medias. Go to my link tree, my profile, and you'll see the card games down there. And they crazy.
Yeah. Y'all need this game. Look, we playing this on Thanksgiving. We about to ask some questions. Oh, with some drinks. It's about to be crazy.
I get Jen. Y'all can't wait to eat Jen playing too.
Look, put Jen comment. I'm about to have hours of truth.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
God. Listen.
Oh, that's funny. Hilarious.
What do I have coming up, Fred? I don't know. What's this month? This is November.
It's November.
Fred. Yes, Sunday. I will, since you said it, I will promote it. Sunday. He is so petty. It is unbelievable.
What Fred do?
No, I'm not. He makes me sick.
Okay, we got a
game November 23rd from 6 to 9 p.m. Money Train's 7th annual turkey drive is happening in Rock Hill, South Carolina at South Point High School. So if y'all are there, they're giving out 200 turkeys. They will have a 55-inch flat screen TV, laptop, a scholarship for the highest GPA. Oh, wow. The kids get to play games. Like it's a huge event. This is the 7th year, so y'all check it out. Fred, he's just petty. Next month, I'll be in Atlanta on December 13th. I don't have the details. I'll give them to you, Fred, but it's an author's event. So I'll be doing a fireside chat with a group of women. authors and doing some snippets from my book, reading and having a conversation about my book. So I'm excited about that. And of course, y'all, we will not have a show the night before Thanksgiving, which is next Wednesday, but we will be back the following week, same time, same place. I'll probably just do some reruns or just post some clips of the show. I want y'all to make sure y'all don't eat too much. Y'all already big backs all year long, so y'all don't have to overindulge on Thursday, okay?
That was the core queen talking right there.
Yes, because y'all be doing too much. Jeez. You don't need 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 plates, okay? Do right. Eat the food, but don't just, you ain't got to overdo it. But y'all enjoy y'all family. If y'all don't know, Thanksgiving is my very, very, very favorite holiday. I don't really celebrate any other holidays, for real, for real. Like, I really don't. I don't make a big deal out of it, but Thanksgiving I do. And it has nothing to do with no pilgrims and none of that other shit. It has to do with me about celebrating with family and actually being thankful and grateful for what I have and just having family. So all of my family will be here at my house. I cook. Yes, I can cook. I have gotten the torch passed to me from my grandma. We're going to have a good time on Thursday. And we eat real food. I ain't going to have no kale and shit, y'all. It's going to be real Thanksgiving. We're going to eat. But y'all enjoy y'all family next week.
I figured you got some real food.
Yeah, we're going to have real food. And make sure y'all don't forget, January 24th, Charlotte, North Carolina. Coach Ken going to be here. Miss Karen going to be here. We're going to cut up. We're going to have a conversation with the Canyons, okay? I'll see y'all in 2 weeks after Thanksgiving. Same time, same place. I appreciate y'all. And I'll see y'all then. Bye.